What's that? It's the second Tuesday of the month, you say? Oh, that must mean it's time for us to check in with our friends at the Canadian Mental Health Association of Waterloo Wellington for our monthly checkup or check in, because we believe these are important conversations, and our friends at CMHA Waterloo Wellington have been generous enough with their time to make this a regularly scheduled appearance. And this morning that appearance is again with Helen Fishburne, who is not just the CEO of CMHA Waterloo Wellington. No. She is also an award-winning CEO. Congratulations, Helen, on being one of just seven people across this great nation of ours to be a champion of mental health.
Aw, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. And I can tell you that I happily accepted the award on behalf of the amazing efforts that our CMHA team has made to support our community this year, which has been extraordinary.
Well, one of the ways in which the CMHA would provide support to the community is connected to a day that we just marked last Friday, September the 10th, that being Suicide Prevention Day. What does that day mean in the calendar for someone in your line of work?
Well, it's an important day, right? It's a day to remember those we've lost to suicide, and sadly, there's been more this year through the pandemic and all the creation of such difficult circumstances this year. And it's also about raising awareness about the issue of suicide and how it can be prevented and talked about. It's still a really tough topic for people to talk about. It's a dark topic. It's a scary topic. It's really about pain and suffering, and it's a, you know, people often feel uncomfortable. So it's really about trying to make it more comfortable, even though we recognize it is a tough topic.
And, you know, the difficulty with the topic is part of the reason we have to try to force our way into these, into these kinds of conversations, because I have, like, it's not a lot of degrees of separation between me and knowing someone who has lost a loved one to suicide. And we're doing some things right when it comes to the language, for example, and we've moved to died by as opposed to committed suicide, right? Because these are things we have to be aware of in our language.
That's right. And again, keeping in mind that mental health is an illness, right? You wouldn't say someone committed a heart attack, right? You'd say someone died by a heart attack. And it's the same thing with mental health language, or really, you know, wanting to encourage people to continue to remind yourself that it is an illness that people are struggling with. And it really is about trying to help people and engage with them when they're in that level of pain, because that's what suicide is about. It's about pain. Most people who have suicidal thoughts don't want to die, but they can't live with the pain that they're feeling. So it's really about reaching out to them to let them know we care, that their life does matter, that they're not alone, and it's to reach in right to that dark spot that they're in and to try and help them get them out of there.
Well, and I appreciate how you talk about reaching in, because the day is referred to as Suicide Prevention Day, and you used the word prevention already, which means this is something that is preventable, and we can
we can
do our part to help eradicate that.
Yep. No, it absolutely is. And if we just kind of passively sat back and waited for people to reach out to us, we would have a lot more people dying by suicide, Mike. So suicide prevention is really about recognizing that someone is struggling, right? Seeing those signs, you know, that they're withdrawing from life, or that there's irritability or dramatic mood changes, or they start giving away things that are meaningful, that all of those things we pay attention to. And we register that in our own minds, in our own hearts, and we think, okay, this person that I know, even whether it's an employee, our next door neighbor, a hockey coach, it doesn't really matter, but I know that person and I know they're not in a good spot. So I'm going to reach out to say, you know, I care about you. I can see that you're struggling. What can I do to support you? It's as simple as that.
We are, of course, in the midst of an election campaign, Helen, and as we switch gears here a little bit, are you hearing anything along the campaign trail that encourages you when it comes to funding for mental health initiatives?
I am. First of all, I'm listening really carefully, Mike. This is a huge campaign for us, a huge federal election for us, right? When I say us, I mean mental health, but really our community. If mental health is not at the top of the list, something is dramatically wrong with everything that we have suffered this year and what people have gone through, and the fact that mental health is the conversation now, thanks to, you know, the pain and suffering created by the pandemic. So every single federal platform, provincial platform, or sorry, party platform, has created their funding formula for mental health in terms of what they'll transfer to the provinces. And I will say that every single party has made mental health a priority. They've talked about it. They've addressed it. They've specifically said what they're going to do. That's a very good thing because it is being acknowledged, it is being recognized. Now, there's some differences, and I certainly would encourage everyone to do their homework. If mental health matters to you and it really has impacted all of us, find out what the party platforms say about mental health, what they're actually going to do, and make that be an important decision in who you vote for.
I get the sense, Helen, and I've been paying as close attention to this as I possibly can because, you know, we've talked about long-term care. We've talked about healthcare, even federally, because of what we've seen cracks in the system during the pandemic. But I believe firmly that a key part, like a truly important part of our economic and pandemic recovery is going to be the supports we provide those who are suffering right now and who have suffered more so during the pandemic. So we need these funding initiatives for mental health need to be in place, and they need to be solid.
You're absolutely right, Mike. And the gap is huge, right? The gap in the funded system, which means that people then have to use private resources or their EAP resources, which are quite limited. And there are a lot of people out there that don't have those benefits as well. So we really need to bolster the funded system. So what we're calling for is simple. We need direct federal investment to sustain and improve the access to the funded mental health and addiction system. And of course, that will directly impact the 3,824 people waiting here across Guelph, Wellington, and Waterloo region, 3,824 people that cannot get care right now. We need that system to be enhanced, and we need direct funding. We're also calling for more additional supportive and affordable housing for people with mental health and addiction issues. We're asking for an increase in funding for Indigenous-led mental health services, because a mental health service led by Indigenous people will actually be what Indigenous people need to feel that safety and to understand the cultural impact of healing. And then the last thing is really we need more support for people who are struggling with substances. We've seen the rise in opioid deaths. We've seen a rise in substance use through the pandemic because of the stress and isolation. So, again, we really need that funded system to be able to address those increase in needs.
Is this funding something that can come directly from the federal government? Will it have to be a partnership with the province?
It almost always is a partnership with the province. Healthcare is a provincial legislated issue. It isn't a federal issue. But I can tell you that the feds can make it very clear to the provinces what's needed, what's required. They can create a suicide prevention and intervention national framework, which, by the way, we don't have. They can do some of that national work, which then gives the provinces their marching orders. So I think that federal and provincial partnership is incredibly important, but ultimately it will be administered by the provinces. So that's important for us to know here locally.
Helen, thanks as always for the check-in, and congratulations again on the award.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you again for your support, and I'll look forward to talking with you next month.
You and me both. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Helen Fishburne is the CEO of the Canadian Mental Health Association of Waterloo-Wellington, and just last week recognized as one of 2021's champions of mental health, one of just seven Canadians to receive the award. And as Helen mentioned, she accepts it on behalf of the entire team at CMHA Waterloo-Wellington. Just going back to, because the story is fresh in my mind, but World Suicide Prevention Day, which was last Friday. And I mentioned the not too many degrees of separation between me and those I know who have lost a loved one to suicide. And I was thinking about Doug and Sandra Ranton, who I've been able to get to know a little bit better over the years because they lost their son, Jacob, to suicide. And Jacob was a basketball star locally and went on to a post-secondary career and was also playing ball when he was away at school when he died by suicide. And in his memory, Doug and Sandra organize a basketball tournament every year. Obviously, COVID made a huge impact on that and their ability to do that work and to raise that awareness. But they have been tireless over the years, and I've always admired folks who get behind something that is so deeply personal, because you have that grief, obviously, that comes with it, and then you decide to try to channel that grief into something meaningful, and they have certainly done that with the annual Jacob Ranton Memorial Basketball Tournament. And I saw Doug post on social media last Friday, remembering his boy and marking the day. And it's so important that we have the conversations and that we really break down that stigma. And it's important that, you know, to use Helen's word, that we reach in when we recognize that somebody is suffering, because as Helen points out, nobody wants to take their own life. What they want to do is stop feeling the pain that they are feeling in their life. So if we can intervene in a meaningful way, and certainly we have to begin to normalize these conversations and break down the stigma around them. So thanks to Doug and Sandra for helping us, you know, break down those barriers to reduce that stigma, to normalize these conversations, and hopefully we can continue moving in that, with that forward momentum when it comes to World Suicide Prevention Day, the prevention of suicides, and of course the other key part of our conversation, what are our federal parties offering by way of mental health supports in this election campaign, and as we as a country emerge from the COVID-19 pandemic, because that is going to be absolutely critical, in my opinion, that we do take a really hard look at the supports that are required, because along with economic supports, how many times have we said that the two are connected, right? The health of the workforce and the health of the economy. You can't have one without the other. And as soon as we start looking at mental health as truly an overall wellness and healthcare initiative, we're going to be behind the eight ball in that regard. So we'll keep our ears tuned in to what the party leaders are saying as we head towards that vote on September the 20th.